Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. This is show number 638, and today is Monday, February 12th, 2018.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Our featured guest tonight is Dr. Steven Snyder, MD, joining a bit later in the show to discuss his latest book, Love Worth Making. Listeners, please note, this is a sensitive topic and may not be suitable for children. Dr. Snyder is a sex and relationship therapist. You can find him on the web by going to www.sexualityresource.com or connect with Dr. Snyder through social media, on Twitter at Sexuality Today and on Facebook at Steven Snyder, MD.
If you're listening to our live show, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. Head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. We are also adding all the links mentioned in the show in the comments section below this podcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020.
Well, Lisa, I'm super excited to be hosting with you tonight. How are things going in the Pacific Northwest for you?
Well, it finally stopped raining. It rained the entire month of January, which is not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rainier than normal this year, apparently.
Okay.
But it finally stopped, and so it is sunny now, cold still, but sunny, which is my favorite kind of weather. So that's nice.
Good.
Yeah. Are you in snow right now, or are you okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely no snow in Georgia, because if there was snow in Georgia, I would not be on the air because the whole state probably shuts down. But no snow, unfortunately, even though our daughter asks all the time when it's going to snow. But it rained a boatload this weekend. We were under a flood warning and whatnot. But today was glorious. See, my heart, we were stationed together at Fort Lewis. Like, my heart is still kind of Pacific Northwest, Fort Lewis, because today was rainy. Like, it wasn't rainy. It was a little overcasty. And when it's overcast in the south, it's a little bit warm. So I overdressed for my run this morning. I was sweating my face off because I was like, it's 56 degrees and overcast, but this is glorious because it's February. So that was great. I love that part. I was like, I love that I can go run in without a coat. So that is one of the great things down here for sure.
Yeah.
So anything exciting going on besides, Pacific Northwest rain or things just happening in life lately?
Not too much exciting. Although I those things on Facebook that pop up where they show you your memories,
mm-hmm.
Pictures that you posted like a year, 2 years,
yep.
whatever ago. Most of the time I just kind of glance at them and think, oh yeah, I remember that. Well, there was one that popped up, last week sometime, I guess. And it was a picture of just a year ago. So a year ago, first part of February, and there was a huge snowstorm here, which is kind of unusual.
Mm.
But it was a picture of my oldest daughter out in the backyard building a snowman, and the caption was, you know, you're never too old to build a snowman. That was kind of funny. But I got to thinking about everything that has happened since that picture was taken, and it was so much. I had to just sit back for a minute and go, wow, there has been so much that's happened this year. Because that picture was taken in February. In March, we traveled to Texas for her wedding. So that was before she was married.
That was a year ago already? I feel like it was 15 minutes ago.
No, it's
what?
Been almost a year. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
So we traveled to Texas for the wedding and came back. They went on their honeymoon, got back here. They stayed with us in this area for a while. And then they moved. Well, no, we moved first. We bought a house a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to Spokane. And then what else? She started school. My son-in-law started a new job. My husband got new orders for a second year in the job that he's in. There was something else. It seems like it was major, but it was like, oh my word.
Well,
that's
just,
a
well
lot.
You can't say you're bored. That's good. You can't say you're bored.
No, it was crazy.
Yeah, I love the Facebook memories. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of social media because I don't remember. Like, today, when one of my memories popped up from, like, I don't know, like, what? So it was 2011. No, 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's my dog's birthday. Like, I remember the day we adopted him, but obviously I don't remember when he was born because we got him when he was a puppy. He wasn't here, you know, wasn't my dog. But I was like, oh, happy birthday, Justice. Sorry, I don't have anything for you. You know, the first year before I had kids, I was like, here's a little dog hat and a little doggy cupcake. And today I'm like, here's some ravioli from the baby that dropped on the floor and a piece of cheese toast and here's some broccoli. Do you like broccoli? I don't know. So, yeah, and I think back to where we were this time last year, and it makes me really grateful, especially if we were going through something a little bit difficult. Like, I'm like, this time last year, like I just talked about my run, you know, I was like, I had a good run today, went 5 miles. I didn't run the whole time, but whatever. Like, this time last year, I was, like, crazy, overdue. Well, not overdue. It was my due date eve for having my son, and
oh,
I was
wow.
miserable. And I was like, get this show on the road. I'd been in false labor 3 times. I was so done. And this year, I'm like, hey,
huh.
Cool. I can walk out to the mailbox not having contractions. It's a good day. So,
oh.
Helpful for the it's good perspective giver for me to just,
yeah.
You know, kind of ground myself a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you had something fun that just happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
My awesome dad, my parents both still live in Kansas, and they're farmers and ranchers. My mom's a tax accountant, so she is crazy busy right now. And my parents' jobs are like opposite of each other. Mom's crazy busy now. Dad's a farmer, rancher, truck driver. So it's super chill. So they never really get to travel together, but my dad got to come this last week by himself, and we vacationed hard. Like, it was awesome. Not the point where you're like, I can't move, but, man, it was intentional, and I was like, okay, email, you're going to have to chill out. And we saw 3 waterfalls in Georgia. We went to Tallulah Gorge and Amicalola Falls, and I finally learned how to say Tallulah and Amicalola, so that was a big deal, because I always read them, and I'm like, I don't know how Amalocala, like, I don't know how to say that. And we climbed, let's see, Amicalola Falls is 729 feet high waterfall, so we climbed all the stairs to
oh,
the
wow.
top, and our calves were burning, and then we climbed down Tallulah Gorge, the stairs that have, it's an 800-foot deep gorge. So we climbed a lot. We hiked 16 miles, and we rode horses. Like, I grew up kind of riding horses, but obviously, you know, a horse doesn't fit real well with the mill spouse household goods, so that's not a thing for us right now. I think it complicates life, so obviously I don't get to ride horses hardly ever. So I was like, we're going to go horseback riding. So we went on an 11-mile horseback ride up and down a mountain, and these horses were just good old boys and girls. You know, they just knew what they were doing, and we did stuff on the horses that I probably normally wouldn't have. I was like, we're going to jump over that. Oh, yeah, we are, because these horses know what they're doing, and they're staying in line. Like, here we go. So it was so fun. We just had a great time. Him watching, you know, hanging out with the grandkids, my daughter, and it's first, like, he came a year ago, a little over a year ago, when my son was 2 weeks old. So obviously, you know, Malik's birthday is Saturday, so almost a full year. Big change, because that kid is into everything now. I keep childproof and stuff, and he keeps finding ways to destroy things. Like, Karis is emotionally exhausting, and Malik is physically exhausting, because I'm just like, he's a destroyer. It's hilarious until something important breaks, or, you know, sister, and then it's then it's on. But yeah, so that was really, really great. Now he's back home at the grindstone, and I'm here in Georgia, and we're trying to get back with it and get back on top of my email and rock and roll. So it was really good. But I think now, Lisa, would love for you to share with us what's hot on Army Wife Network blog this week.
Okay. Well, AWN blogger Sarah Peachy shares about the time the fire department broke into their home to shut off the water and electrical system after a neighbor saw water pouring out of the attic of her house. They were driving back home, admittedly a bit faster than legal, her mind racing with questions like, what would we find when we got there? How bad was it? Would we need to move? If we moved, how hard would it be to find a new home? This harrowing incident drove home the necessity of renter's insurance. To read her blog post in full, including photos of the disaster, head over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for the post, Don't Overlook Your Renter's Insurance Ever. So, Sharita, this question has to come up now with that in mind. Do you have renter's insurance? Do you live on or off post? Are you renting?
Yeah, we live on post, and ever since we got married in 2010, we've lived on post. And so I think renter's insurance used to be included in BAH, and then when we got to Fort Lewis, it changed a little bit, and they were like, okay, it's not automatic anymore, so you have to get supplemental insurance or something. So yeah, we got renter's insurance at Fort Lewis, and we did it. We just coupled it with our banking and car and all that stuff, because we use USAA, and they do, you know, they do a good job, and they get our lifestyle, which is helpful. It's, you know, sometimes it's like speaking another language. So yeah, we have renter's insurance for sure, and mainly for those reasons that Sarah shared in her blog, because as much as, you know, we try to, like, of course, take care of our house and, you know, prevent these things, like, accidents do happen. Crazy things happen. And, you know, the last thing we want is to be in a situation where we can't take care of our family. So what about you, Lisa? I know you said you bought a house a little over, well, not quite a year ago, but, and then you moved.
Right.
So obviously you're off post. So what about you guys?
When we were renting, we did, because we have USAA as well, and so it was super easy to, you know, just add renter's insurance with them. And it just made sense. It just really did. And it's not very expensive. That's what's the amazing part, you know. You really don't have to pay that much for a significant amount of coverage. So it's just worth it. And, you know, We never had to use it, thankfully, but, you know, just nice knowing that it's there. And then because it was USAA, it was just super easy when we bought our house to call them and say, hey, we don't need the renter's insurance. We need the homeowner's insurance. So,
right.
That was a super simple process to make that switch.
That's one of the great things. Like, this is not a PSA or anything for USAA, but they've just done this really well, and they make it so not painful. You know, like, there's a lot of banks and a lot of just organizations. Like, I feel like some people still are really good at customer service and others not so much. You know, and obviously the customer service aspect makes me want to be like, oh, one phone call that I can, like, take care of things. Like, our credit card somehow got jacked a couple weeks ago. And in the past, that would have been, like, huge debacle, like, such a hoopla. But we got, like, 5 notifications within, you know, 10 minutes of the suspicious transactions that someone went to 3 different Walmarts in Virginia on a shopping spree.
Right.
And I was like, no, actually, that is not me in Virginia. I'm in Georgia. Please make it stop. And it was great.
Yeah.
Like, the babies run around in the background, and they're like, all right, roger that. And they take care of it, and I can go to sleep at night instead of being like, oh, my gosh, I owe them all the dollar bills. You know,
yeah.
So anyways. But, yeah. But I think on that note, let's go ahead and check out what's hot in AWN social media. We've got something super exciting for you listeners, so listen up. Hot in AWN social media this week, AWN owner Crystal Niehoff, along with Tracy Hargis and Wendy Baird Packard, went live on Facebook with our very first AWN Table Talk discussion, answering your mill spouse questions on the topic of avoiding isolation and making connections. If you missed it, don't worry. Just head on over to our AWN Facebook page to watch the video. AWN Table Talk will go live again on Facebook this Friday, February 16th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to answer your questions about deployment and reintegration. Great topic. If you have a question for our Table Talk panel, you can leave a comment on the video or send your questions to info@armywifenetwork.com. And as a reminder, links to everything we discuss in the show tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and also in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. So, Lisa, how do you meet new people and make friends at a duty station?
Well, really, my biggest way to do that is through PWOC.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because
that's where we met.
The duty stations, yeah, I know. The duty stations that we've been to, my husband has been in a really odd position where he doesn't really have a regular unit. And so my opportunities for unit events are just different. And so I've not really found a good way to make connections through those types of avenues. And so really it's just through PWOC and meeting people there and getting connected, you know, on Tuesday mornings.
Yep, I'm the same way. I've mentioned this before, but since we're at a remote duty station, we don't have all the neato bells and whistles that we normally have on a full-fledged post, and so I really miss PWOC. Like, we have a great church family here, but it's just hard because it's really nice to have time during the week with childcare, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, to connect with other women and be like, yeah, I identify with that. You know, like, I get it when, like, deployments, PCS, all the hoopla that comes with it. So, yeah, that's definitely mine, too. So, but for now, it's time for a short commercial break. Up next is our News 6 Charlotte bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hi, Charlotte. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Sherita and Lisa. One of the biggest challenges a military spouse faces is finding employment at each new duty station. You may have thoughts of starting a new career, but the cost of education is very high. Tonight I am sharing some information and helpful tips for military spouses to find education scholarships.
Charlotte, that sounds really interesting. Where is a good place to start searching for a scholarship?
Well, Lisa, there are several places you can search. Military OneSource is a great resource. The Fisher House Foundation has also created a search tool called the Scholarships for Service. The tool asks you a few questions and conducts an extensive search of thousands of scholarships available, specifically for applicants with a military affiliation. By clicking on the box that identifies you as a military spouse, you'll see results for a variety of scholarships ranging from those associated with veterans organizations and local and national spouses clubs. You can also go to the Defense Department's Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Program search tool, the SECO Scholarship Finder. It's also a good idea for spouses to check with the school they are interested in attending for available scholarships. Some scholarships have discounts and scholarships that are available to those with a military affiliation.
That's really good to know, Charlotte. I know that that's one thing that I found with the college that I'm going to school in. They have a really great military discount, so that's really helpful for our listeners. But I know we've also mentioned the MyCAA program on the show before. Are there other programs out there like that one?
There are. Some are designed specifically for spouses. And, Sherita, as you mentioned, there is the DOD's My Career Advancement Account Tuition Assistance Program. It provides up to $4,000 in tuition assistance to help military spouses pursue licenses, certificates, certifications, or associate degrees required for employment in high-demand portable career fields and occupations. Something to know about this program, though, is it's limited to spouses of active duty service members in pay grades E1 through E5, W1 and W2, and O1 and O2, including spouses of members of the Guard and Reserve in those same pay grades. The credential and associate degree program must be obtained from a MyCAA scholarship-approved accredited college, university, or technical school in the U.S. Another valuable program is the NMFA's Scholarship and Career Funds Program. The National Military Family Association program awards an average of $500 for career funding and $1,000 for degrees. Spouses are also eligible for funding to build their own businesses, generally $1,000. In addition, up to $2,500 is available for clinical supervision towards licensure in the mental health field. This program isn't limited by rank. It is open to any spouse with a valid military ID. Finally, there is the Thanks USA Scholarship Program. This nonprofit provides $3,000 scholarships based on a number of criteria, including financial need. All military spouses are eligible, as are dependents under age 24, but they must meet certain academic criteria.
So, Charlotte, are there caps or limits on the amounts that you can get for scholarships?
Well, it really depends on the program or scholarship itself. Local spouse clubs may be limited in the number and the dollar amount of scholarships they provide, but every little bit helps. Some are based on financial need. Applicants shouldn't limit themselves. The more you apply, the better chance you have of getting more than one. Something to remember, often scholarship money goes unused because of the lack of applicants. There's no guarantee you'll get a scholarship, but if you don't apply for it, it's guaranteed you won't.
Thank you so much for bringing us this story, Charlotte. Listeners, be sure to stay tuned after this short break, and we'll be talking with Dr. Steven Snyder, MD, discussing his latest book, Love Worth Making. Listeners, this will be a sensitive, rated PG-13 type topic and may not be suitable for children. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, everyone. It's Jack Black coming to you from the set of Jumanji.
We have to save Jumanji.
Libraries and librarians transform lives every day through digital literacy, discovery, and lifelong learning.
Let's go, people.
Yes!
There's no puzzle too tough or challenge too great.
We can help each other.
For your librarian, find the clues to solve your next quest at the library.
A message from the American Library Association's Libraries Transform campaign. And Jumanji, welcome to the jungle.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
A product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sherina Knobloch. Listeners, just a quick reminder that we'll be discussing a sensitive topic in this portion of the show, which may not be suitable for children.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. Tonight, we have with us Steven Snyder, MD. Dr. Snyder is a sex and relationship therapist and writer with a national reputation as one of the most creative thinkers in the sex field today, and the author of Love Worth Making: How to Have Ridiculously Great Sex in a Long-Lasting Relationship.
An associate clinical professor of psychiatry at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York City, Dr. Snyder is a guest on major media outlets nationwide and writes for Psychology Today and the Huffington Post. He lives with his wife and children in New York City. Welcome to the show, Dr. Snyder.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor. Thank you so very, very much.
Well, you're very welcome. We're excited you're here with us tonight. So,
thank you.
Dr. Snyder, will you tell us where you're calling from this evening and a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm calling from deepest, darkest Manhattan. I am calling from my office, which is a couple of blocks from my home. And I live there with my wife and my teenage daughter, and my son is off in college. We just sent him off to college this year. One of the nice things about living in Manhattan, although it is a very strange place to live, is my wife is actually disabled. She's a stroke survivor. She had a stroke about 25 years ago, and she's fine, but she can't really drive, and so in Manhattan you don't really need a car, so it makes it very, very convenient. One of the few places you can really live a real, you know, free life if you're disabled. So we were always going to move to the suburbs, but we ended up staying here, and so far we've made it work.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to become a sex and couples therapist?
One of the things that I'm really interested in is talking to people who know about military life and soldiers' families. I actually come from a medical family. My father's a doctor, and I'm sure this happens in the military world. If it's in your family, sometimes you feel that calling to honor the family tradition. My father was a doctor, so I became a doctor too. Wasn't sure exactly why, but that was what you were supposed to do. And my father was a surgeon, and I rapidly figured out that I did not have any talent for that. However, I discovered that I had a real talent for talking to people, which wasn't anything that was in the cards, but I became a psychiatrist. And unfortunately, I discovered that psychiatry these days is mostly about giving medicines, and I really wasn't that interested in being a Prozac doc, and I was looking around for something where I could make an impact as a psychiatrist who was mostly interested in talking to people. And somebody mentioned sex therapy, and I thought, you could do that for a living? They said, yeah, absolutely. I said, sign me up right away. So I've been doing it for the last 30 years. Never looked back.
Well, it sounds like you've got some great experience in your field with your background for the last 3 decades, and we're excited to hear about it. So tell us a little bit about your book and why you decided to write your book, Love Worth Making.
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. The reason I decided to write the book is because it's really, really limiting sitting in a private office week in, week out, seeing a maximum of maybe 40 couples or individuals per week, because that's the only amount you can fit in, and realizing that everybody you're seeing in the office comes in having made all the same mistakes, and realizing that they're probably representative of the millions and millions of people out there who are making the same mistakes. And at that point, I felt myself called to a higher purpose, which is to take everything that I had learned in the 30 years of doing this and see if I could communicate it to a larger audience and have much bigger impact, because I get frustrated with how small an impact you have as a private therapist. And in case you're interested in what those mistakes are, the big mistake that I always see couples making is that they're not really paying attention to whether they're truly aroused. People think of arousal as their physical manifestations of arousal, which we all know, but those aren't the most important ones. The most important ones are the psychological manifestations of arousal. Mostly, did it make you kind of just dumb and happy and feeling wonderful about yourself? If you went through all the physical things and everything worked and you completed the act and it didn't make you feel really, really happy and wonderful about yourself, you didn't really do it right. And couples don't know that. They don't know that sex is supposed to make you very, very happy. Another thing that couples don't know is that you don't only have to have excitement when you're going to have relations. That usually takes privacy and all sorts of things, but the happiest couples experience and enjoy getting excited together even when they're not going to have relations. In sex therapy, we call this simmering, just for a minute before you leave for work, just for a minute before falling to sleep, just to kind of, just like simmering, it just kind of keeps things warm. And that's really the secret to long-term erotic happiness.
Well, thank you for sharing those. And we probably
I just gave you a lot of information in a brief period of time.
No, that's okay. Hopefully we'll get a chance to go back to those just a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit later. And I know you kind of briefly mentioned this, but maybe you can give us more specifics on how your background as a sex and couples therapist actually helped you write the book.
Well, having learned so much from the couples that I'd worked with, as I mentioned, I really did want to share it, because there are not that many variations, and I know that many, many people across the country are facing similar kind of situations. And the other thing that was important to me is I was pleased to see that, from what I can tell, from what I've read from your all work, that you are both people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I myself as well am a person of faith, and I found that extremely helpful to me in organizing my thinking about this, because it means putting sexuality to some greater purpose, which is to contribute to the sense of faith that the two of you have in yourselves as a couple. As I mentioned, that feeling that really good lovemaking gives you, that it makes you feel really, really good about yourself, and that's just a profound thing for a couple. So that I did feel a sense of mission of wanting to bring that to people's attention, because you don't really get that when you read most of what's written about lovemaking. Most of it's very technical, and it really kind of misses the point, as far as I can tell.
So why specifically focus on sex and intimacy advice for people in committed relationships?
Well, I think that's because that's where people in committed relationships really, really live, or where they want to live. I have a pet theory about arousal and erotic feelings. It's not a completely original theory. It's been floating around in the ether for about 100 years now, but I've kind of put it down on paper and developed it, which is that for most of us, the emotions that we experience during really, really good lovemaking are a little bit of a stirring up of emotions that we originally experienced during earliest infancy, this sense of the psychological and the physical being fused together, the sense of something which was both playful and quite serious, sense of something that felt vital, necessary, and where we really craved and needed to be enjoyed. People forget as adults that they really, really need to be enjoyed. They get so involved with technique and trying to produce, say, a climax so they can go to sleep, that they forget that the whole purpose of it. It's just like, you know, you all have kids, as do I. The most important thing you can do for your kids, absolutely fundamentally, when they're very, very young, is just to enjoy them, just so that they know that they can be, you know, purely enjoyed just for who they are. It's the exact same thing when a couple goes to bed. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's pretty much where I'm coming from.
Well, and here is a question that kind of takes us back to those common problems that you mentioned. So can you maybe expand on those a little bit, or maybe if there's more that you can mention, those common intimacy problems that couples face?
Absolutely. Well, I told you about the fact that couples forget that they can feel perhaps erotically connected even when they're not undressed in bed. That's extremely important, this simmering that I talked about. The happiest couples do manage moments together where there's not going to be any release and there's not going to be any completion. There's just kind of a little simmering it, just keeping it warm. And that's so, so important. As I say in the book, it kind of keeps the erotic climate in a place where it needs to be in a relationship. Otherwise, a couple is, you know, going towards lovemaking and they're warming up something that's been cold. That's not a good thing. And a lot of couples avoid getting aroused together if they're not going to be making love because they're worried that one of them is going to get frustrated. I always tell people in my office, it's okay. You can get a little frustrated. That's what keeps you in the game. That's what keeps you interested. When couples are courting, sometimes they feel a little frustrated. That's fine. It's nothing to be afraid of. Another thing, which I didn't get a chance to mention yet, is, and this, I'm really glad that you gave that warning for people that this was a, you know, only for adults, this part of the show, is that most couples get too hung up on climax. For instance, a woman will say, you know, my husband is physically excited, that means he needs the climax. And some women who, say, may have a low sex drive will avoid anything like wearing something sexy to bed because they're worried it'll get their husband excited, because they feel if they were responsible for getting him excited, that means they have to do something about it and help him climax. It's really not the case. One of the things that I mentioned in the book, in my definition of a sex therapists are the only people in the world who are not that focused on climax, because we see people focusing on climax and it makes them ignore the rest of sexual expression, which, as I mentioned, has to do with being enjoyed, feeling like at that moment you're the most important part of the person in the world, and getting to let yourself into that state of pure being rather than doing, which for most of us is just that blissful part of it. So couples get, I say in the book that there are really two roads to climax. There's the low road and there's the high road. The low road is where it's just practical. You're just trying to make sure everybody climaxes. that's okay to do every once in a while. But as sex therapists, we think of climax as kind of like dessert. That'd be like going out for ice cream. That's fine. You could do that. But you really want to make sure that sometimes you sit down and you have the whole three-course meal, where you have the appetizers and you have the main course, and then at the end you go, oh, okay, yeah, dessert's good too. But you didn't set out to have dessert. It just kind of finishes you off. So I would say that those are the most common intimacy problems that couples face. Do you have time to hear one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do
going.
You need to take a break?
Okay. No, keep going.
Okay, the other
We're
one.
We're listening. We're taking notes. We're tweeting.
Okay, good, good. the other one is desire disparity. The traditional desire disparity is where the man wants it more automatically than the woman. And historically, that's been the case. That's the old joke, you know, not tonight, I have a headache. And what I suggest for couples, if there is a desire disparity, is that they don't go to bed with the intention of making love. They go to bed with the intention of, as I call it in my book, just doing nothing, just hanging out together and just tuning in again to each other. Because a lot of people, I think for you all, with, I guess, the long deployments and everything, if you haven't tuned in for a while, it can be not that automatic. So very often that can be helped by just taking a moment. I call it the two-step in my book. Step one is just tuning in together, and then step two is going in and making love. The other one, which I hear a lot from couples these days, and I'm not exactly sure what to do with it, and I don't know if it's just a Manhattan thing, but I suspect it's more nationwide from people that I talk to, is where the woman has more desire than the man. And you hear that in some marriages, and that is very deeply upsetting to people because people are feeling, wait a minute, that's not the way that's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something wrong. There must be something wrong. And so that can require a little bit of exploration and discussion as to what's going on. Sometimes it's that the men get kind of confused. There have been so many changes in women's roles these days, and sometimes men don't exactly know what they're supposed to do. Are they supposed to be understanding, or are they supposed to be dominant? Are they supposed to take charge, or are they supposed to share charge? And men kind of get hit both ways, and sometimes they don't exactly know what they're supposed to do.
Well, Dr. Snyder, this is good stuff, and we are all taking notes and trying to share some tweets. Yes, this is good stuff, and as Mill Spouses, it's really encouraging, and so we're excited to hear what you have after the break, but we do need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about why you say that connecting your feelings is crucial to the satisfaction with people's intimate relationships and their spouse.
Can't wait.
So, listeners, don't forget, if you're tuning into our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network. Use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. You can also find links on everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comments section below the podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
If you're a service member and are thinking about purchasing a home or refinancing an existing loan, you should consider taking advantage of the VA Guaranteed Home Loan. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. The VA Home Loan is available to active duty military, veterans, and reservists. The VA Home Loan Program gives you the ability to buy with no out-of-pocket cost, and you may qualify for up to $417,000 towards your home. You just have to be able to pay a portion of certain funding fees and closing costs. The VA program requires no mortgage insurance, so monthly payments are frequently less than any other no-down payment loan. If you are considering refinancing an existing loan, VA offers you two options. You can either refinance to reduce your current interest rate, or you can take equity out up to $144,000. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Hi, this is Nicholas Cage. When you're a teenager, there are a lot of things going on that can produce stress and anxiety. The pressures of school, dating, and the future in general can seem overwhelming sometimes. But there are healthy ways to deal with stress, ways to reduce it and channel your energy in positive directions. And you don't have to do it alone. The Will Rogers Institute has a free booklet with some really helpful information.
For your free copy, visit WRInstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Stephen Snyder, a sex and relationship therapist and writer, discussing his latest book, Love Worth Making. Before we went to break, we were discussing some of the common intimacy problems that couples face. But now, Dr. Snyder, some of your advice in your book seems a little counterintuitive. You suggest, for example, that people should be more selfish in bed. Explain how this works.
I'm really glad you asked that. One of the alternative titles that I considered for my book, Love Worth Making, was Selfishly Yours. And basically it has to do with passion. These days there's so much online in magazines, how to turn your partner on, seven ways to rock his or her world, that kind of thing, that people tend too much to think of intimacy as like a performance. And very often the performance is a performance of generosity. How to be so generous that you're really going to make your spouse extremely happy. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. In my office, I see a lot of people attempting to be very generous, and they end up with a lot of very boring lovemaking. As I always say, you never see a romance novel where the hero takes off the heroine's clothes and then says, "Now tell me how you like to be touched." That's nice if knows how she likes to be touched, but it's even more important that she feels his desire for her. And the one thing that people lose these days is the sense of desire, because most women especially want to feel desired. They may not want to make love all the time, but when they want to, they want to feel like it's a little bit like having good water pressure in your shower. They want to feel like that pressure is there, that desire is there, and they want to feel wanted. Fundamentally, they want to feel like their partner is enjoying them. I always ask couples, what's more erotic, somebody who wants to give you a lot of pleasure or somebody who really, really is enjoying being in bed with you? And most people will say it's the latter. That's much more erotic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that selfishness is like the salsa picante. It's like the secret sauce in lovemaking. And if most people remember the most erotic experience of their life, there was a little of that secret sauce. That it was a little bit of selfishness where neither person was really worried about the other person. Neither person was really just trying to turn the other person on or anything like that. Each person was just involved in their own experience. And that sounds unromantic, but it's actually the most romantic thing in the world. It's just like a mother and a child. The mother is enjoying the fact of looking at the child's feet and thinking how perfect they are. And the child is enjoying the fact that somebody's enjoying them. So that's how it works when it works the best.
That's really, huh? I've never thought of it like that. Because,
okay.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I'm glad
I think as military spouses,
yes.
spouses, we're asked to, you know, sacrifice a lot and root up our families and move around the country and, you know, do all these things. And so the sacrificial nature is, you know, just part of probably who most of us are.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of counterintuitively balancing that with, here's also the things that I want, I desire, I need, and enjoying that experience together.
Absolutely.
Brings that balance to that relationship.
Okay, well, I'm glad that's making sense. Because one of the things that I wanted to accomplish with this book is, you know, I'm here in this little concentrated area of the world, and I'm aware that there's just so much part of this country that I never get a chance to see, and I wanted to engage in a dialogue with the rest of the country, the places I never get to. And I'm glad that seems like it's something that might be helpful. I always think there might be some analogy between a military family and a medical family because they both do involve a lot of sacrifices, as my children will always tell you. You know, I don't have any long deployments, but I certainly have some late nights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand you had a question, though, about deployments. And I guess that would be the elephant in the room that really is characteristic of military life, is that one doesn't see one spouse for months at a time. What's the longest deployment that you see?
Well, for a while, they were doing...
Yeah, go for it, Lisa.
Yeah. For a while, they were like 15 to 18 months for Army deployments. And then they've kind of leveled off at like 12 months is usually the longest now.
Wow.
But it's still, I mean, even, you know, 6 to 9 months, it's still a long time.
It's huge. It's huge.
So that is the million-dollar question for
our listeners,
is specifically, you know, for Army wives who go for long periods of time without seeing their spouse. Mm-hmm. What is your specific advice?
Well, let me ask you, because I would like to know more about this. In the old days, say, you know, in the great wars of the 20th century, the principal ways that people would stay in touch with their spouses would be through letters. And it would be almost an erotic experience when you'd get a letter, because you knew that the paper that you were receiving, it had the molecules of the person who'd been writing to you. And, you know, soldiers would get the letters and they would kind of sniff the letters, and the woman would put a little perfume on the letters, and it would be a rather intimate experience. And the soldier, I'm sure, would carry the letter around as one of his most precious possessions. How do people communicate these days with their soldiers who are in the field?
Yeah, well, I would say it depends on what they're doing. You know, often depends on where they're at. You know, there's a lot with the technology, so with the FaceTime, social media, that kind of stuff. I am old school and traditionalist, and I don't know if my husband enjoys it, but it's kind of, you know, my letters usually don't contain anything super scandalous or sexy, but just the act of doing that and making that connection, like when he was in Ranger school or deployed to the Pacific, you know, I still would, you know, spray a little perfume and do the lip kiss on the backside of the, you know, and he would carry them around, and I have all those letters. Like when he came
home,
like we would unpack all of his junk, I put all those in a box. You know, because I hope we can embarrass our grandkids.
That is great.
30 or 40 years.
I mean, I always tell patients, you know, there's a difference between sex and eroticism. And, you know, animals have sex, but they don't have eroticism. But humans have that because they have all the imaginative capacities that we have. And although there's a sexual deprivation, it doesn't necessarily have to be a deprivation in eroticism. And, in effect, eroticism sometimes is built on longing. I'm sure there's a bittersweet quality. On the one hand, you miss the person. On the other hand, it's kind of nice to love somebody so much that you do miss them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have this experience. Tell me if, you know, I'm sure you have this experience of feeling like you're thinking about the other person and wondering, are they thinking about you? For most of us, it's the most powerful experience in the world is just to have the feeling that someone is thinking about us.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole... It's trite, I know, but the whole absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm.
That really is part of the experience a lot of times.
I would think so. I would think so. And,
because,
and in its own way, kind of memorable.
Right, right. And I think that can include, you know, the sexual nature of the relationship too, because, I don't know, the unimportant stuff just sort of falls away when you do get a chance to communicate. And so there's just much more intentionality, I guess.
Absolutely. And that's erotic. Even if you're not saying anything scandalous to each other.
Right.
It's really erotic in the old-fashioned sense of the word. I think we kind of lose that these days since we're so immediate gratification. I think about it with my kids. You know, if they want to check in with me, they'll just, you know, FaceTime me or something. And I think to myself, in a previous generation, we would have had to write letters to each other. We kind of lost a little something.
That's a great point. So,
I imagine the other thing, let me just ask.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing is, it must be a little strange when a husband who's been in the field comes home after a long deployment. It must take a little time to kind of tune up together as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear from people that that's so?
Yeah, well, and I mean, I think we've all, as I'm speaking for the general core team, support team, our listeners, been there, done that. And it's a very interesting experience because, you know, and it depends for me, for us, it's kind of dependent on what season of life we were in as far as, like, our marriage.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, before kids, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know,
absolutely,
there's the romance. We haven't seen each other, you know, hooray kind of stuff. And then there's the other part that's like, hey, the kids still need to be taken care of. And, you know, he's still got gear to unpack. And there's often, like, after action reviews and other things that need to be done. And so, yeah, it's an interesting balance, kind of the reintegration for me. Like, I'm not a fan of deployments, but for me, reintegration is almost just as difficult as deployment, because
I would think so. I would think
you
so.
You talk about being selfish, you know, and so while they're gone, like, yes, we're making sacrifices, we're taking care of the house, holding down the fort, but the romantic piece of that, even though we miss it, you know, especially for women who do not have the drive, perhaps, that our male spouses do.
Right, it's not the
that
same.
That was something that we didn't really have to make a priority, if that makes
right.
sense.
Absolutely.
So then we have to shift our priorities back around to be like, okay, our husband is back, and, you know, he has needs that...
And he's been waiting for a year
to
touch us.
Again. Yes, and,
yeah.
and,
one of the things
met,
I talk about
so it,
one, of, one of the things I talk about in my book is it's a major transformation when you have kids, and as a father, I certainly know this, and my wife knows it even more, is before you have kids, especially single people who are courting, you're kind of touch-deprived. Most single adults are touch-deprived. And so one of the great things about becoming a couple is that you don't have to be touch-deprived. After you have kids, you're touch-glutted. You're getting touched all the time. And your idea of heaven at the end of the day is to have nobody touch you.
Yes.
Now, obviously, that's not a great thing when it comes to sex. Because you lose half your motivation for having sex because you get touched all day long. You can be left alone.
Yep.
I have a very vivid memory of being in a restaurant alone when my children were very, very young and just being in ecstasy that I could pick up a fork without anybody dribbling on me or something like that. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
one of the things
that's our joke.
I wanted to
that's,
well,
that's
I think,
one of
I think
our jokes is
what?
We, you know, we talk about, like, my husband's an introvert, you know, and he wants to kind of be alone emotionally when he comes home, and I've just been touched all day by the preschooler and the one-year-old, and I'm just like, I need some space. Can I just go to the bathroom alone? Like,
exactly.
Please don't ask
great.
Me.
You lock the bathroom
me.
Door, and you've got licensed it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, 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 very important. Here's what I usually tell couples. I say, you know, your sexual self, we all have kind of a sexual self, which is a little bit more vulnerable, a little more immature than our regular self. And it's a very valuable self. It's a source of a great deal of emotional honesty and expression, but it doesn't really have a lot of common sense. And when you get two people who've been apart for a long, long time, your sexual selves are like two kids on the first day of school. They may feel, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this class. I don't know if I'm going to like it here. And your function as a sexual adult is to be a little bit of a parent to your sexual self by first telling yourself the same thing you would tell your kid on the first day of school when they come home and they say, I hate my teacher. You say, just give it a couple of weeks. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel awkward at first, but it's going to be okay. You're going to get tuned up and you'll find each other again. As a religious person, I think of it as a little bit like religious inspiration, because you're both people of faith. You know you can't program religious inspiration. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes not so much. And it's that being patient with it and saying, okay, I'm going to wait, and I know religious inspiration will come in its own time, and I can't force it.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Snyder, this is great conversation, and I'm pretty sure between you, me, and Lisa, we could probably talk for a whole other hour, but we are running a little short on time, so we do want to give you the opportunity. Tell us a little bit about what's next for you.
Okay. Well, writing a book is a little bit like making a movie. If the book does well, you get to make another movie. And so the movie I'm interested in making next, this book is called Love Worth Making, and it's basically a guide to erotic life in relationships. And the primary target audience is women, to be honest with you, because it's mostly women who turn for advice to such books. Most guys don't read self-help books for the same reason they don't ask for directions when they get lost. I have a feeling that when we advance genetics, this is going to be located on the Y chromosome. And so The first book is Love Worth Making. The second book, if I can be fortunate enough to write it, is going to be called Men Worth Keeping, which is going to have to do with why guys are so strange and how to kind of deal with them.
Well, that sounds fascinating, and I'm glad you are considering writing the next one.
Good. Good.
As far as the book that's out already, the
yes.
Love Worth Making,
yes.
where can our listeners go to get a copy of that?
Oh, glad you asked. Obviously, I'm eager to get feedback from people, have them read it and respond to it, and see if any of the ideas make sense, because I know they make sense in the office. If you go into any search engine and type in those three words, Love Worth Making, which is lovemaking with the word worth stuck in the middle, chances are it'll take you within the first few to my book. Or you can just go to loveworthmaking.com, which is my book page. Or you can go on YouTube to Stephen Snyder, M.D., StephenSnyderMD. And the first thing that'll pop up, if your computer is like mine, is a time when I was on CBS This Morning with Oprah and made a total fool of myself, but I have tried to have a sense of humor about it. It's my first time on TV. It's still up there. And the second is a little circular picture of me, which takes you to my YouTube channel, and it's got a bunch of videos with some of the ideas. I'm thinking specifically of the one, there's one called The Easy 1 Minute Sex Fix Every Marriage Needs. If you go on YouTube and you type in The Easy 1 Minute Sex Fix Every Marriage Needs, you'll get a 2-minute video on how to do that simmering that we talked about earlier. But to get the book, the best way is to just go to the website loveworthmaking.com.
All right. Well, this is excellent. And I literally just added it to my Amazon wish list. So
bless your heart. Thank you.
It's now on my list for very soon. Does it come out tomorrow?
It comes out tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah.
Happy book birthing eve. How exciting.
We're actually heading over to the delivery room now. We're going to be induced. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have a new book.
Well, congratulations. That's super. That's
Thank
so exciting.
You. My,
I was
my children,
like,
my children are very,
I was like, when,
my children
insane.
Have been looking
cool.
at the back of my head for the past year as I've been typing this thing, and they're going to looking forward to seeing the front of me again, so that should be good.
Well, congratulations. That is so
Thank you
exciting.
Very much.
We're,
it's really
we're
a pleasure and an
to
honor
hear,
to be on with you all.
We're excited to hear some good things, hopefully, to come out of this, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much,
Love
and
Worth
stay
Making
in touch.
And Men Worth Keeping, and whatever women come down with your book title for book number 3. So
we'll figure out something.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Snyder. We appreciate
All right.
it.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Good night.
Thank you. And listeners, thank you for listening in. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, February 19th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Marna Ashburn discussing marriage during deployment. It's going to be another empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team, signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.